नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 5 वर्स 41। देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां न किंकरो नायं वृणी च राजन् न किंकरो नायं वृणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां न किंकरो नायं ऋणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां न किंकरो नायं ऋणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां न किंकरो नायं वृणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् न किंकरो नायं वृणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् नायं वृणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् तो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम् मतजिस् देवर्षि भूतात्मनृणां पितृणां न किंकरो नायं ऋणी च राजन् सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यम् गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तम्। देव ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स, ऋषि ऑफ द सेजेस, भूत ऑफ ऑर्डिनरी लिविंग एंटिटीज, आप्त ऑफ फ्रेंड्स एंड रिलेटिव्स, renam of ordinary men, Pitrinam of the forefathers. Na, not. Kinkara, the servant. Na, nor. I am this one. Rini, debtor. Cha, also. Rajan, O king. Sarvatmana, with his whole being. Yaha, a person who. Sharanam, shelter. Sharanyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who affords shelter to all. Gataha, approached. Mukundam, Mukunda. Parihritya, giving up. Kartam, duties. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. Purport. One who has not fully surrendered to the devotional service of the Lord undoubtedly has many material duties to perform. Every ordinary conditioned soul is the recipient of innumerable benefits given by the demigods, who provide sun and moonshine, rain, wind, food, and ultimately one's own material body. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Stena eva saha. One who does not reciprocate with the demigods by offering them sacrifice is stena, or a thief. Similarly, other living entities such as the cows are providing us with innumerable delicious and nutritious foodstuffs. When we wake up in the morning, our mind is refreshed by the sweet singing of birds, and on a hot day we enjoy the cool shade and breeze of the forest trees. We are accepting service from innumerable living entities and we are obliged to repay them. Apta means one's own family members, to whom one is certainly obligated according to the normal morality, and Drina means human society. Until one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is certainly a product of his society. We receive mundane education, culture, tradition and protection from the society in which we live, and thus we owe a great debt to society. Of course, our debt to society is not simply to the present order, but to all our forefathers and ancestors who carefully preserved moral and social customs so that we, their descendants, could live peacefully. Therefore, the word Pitrinam, or forefathers, indicates our debt to previous generations. In fact, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are sometimes criticized by materialistic persons for giving too much attention to Krishna rather than working to fulfill all the above mentioned obligations. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam, Canto 4, 30, Chapter 31, Text 14 states, Yata tharor moola nisechanena tripyatita skanda bhujopashaka. If one waters the root of a tree, automatically all of the branches, twigs, leaves, etc. are also nourished. There is no need for any effectiveness in separately pouring water on the branches, twigs and leaves of a tree. The water has to be placed on the root. Similarly, pranopahara cha yatayendriyanam. Food must be placed in the stomach from where it is automatically distributed to all limbs of the body. It is foolish to try to nourish the whole body by rubbing food separately on all the bodily limbs. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from Krishna, everything is being maintained by Krishna, and at the end everything will merge to rest in Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the supreme benefactor, friend, protector and well-wisher of every living entity. And if he is satisfied, then automatically the whole world will become satisfied. Just as all the limbs, bodily limbs are strengthened and satisfied when the food is duly remitted to the stomach. We'll stop the purport here. Tomorrow the next speaker will continue the purport. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Welcome everybody to the Srimad Bhagavatam class and seek blessings and very grateful for the opportunity to speak on this one of the star verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of the very famous verses of the Bhagavatam, often quoted by devotees, sometimes misquoted also. That because we have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, we don't have to execute our material duties. Once in a hotel, there was a notice that was put up that the meal you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay for the meals you take. So this person, he went and he ordered all that he wanted to eat. And after the whole meal is completed, the bill was brought. And then he said that, you said you don't have to pay for the meal. So then he said, the waiter said, this is not your bill, this is the bill from your grandfather. And there are no free meals in this world. every meal that we take, that is somebody, we have to pay for it because somebody has worked hard to provide that for us. And therefore in this verse, there are different living entities, different categories of living entities that have all helped us to be what we are. And therefore, one cannot neglect to pay one's dues to them. Therefore, they say there are four goals of human life. The first is learning. And after you spend learning, then comes earning. And after earning, you are supposed to give back. That is called as returning. Because you might have earned, but everybody was, you depended on so many people to earn your livelihood. And the fourth goal is called as never returning. So learning, earning, returning, and never returning. Never returning means not the money, but we should not return back to this material, to this mortal world. And unless we clear our dues to everybody, including ultimately the Supreme Lord, we'll again keep coming back and back. And therefore, even in corporate worlds, this term is used as CSR, corporate social responsibility, because we are taking so much from the society, we have to give back. Some years back, there was this whole agitation about how some of the soft drink companies are taking so much water from the ground that the villages that are next to these companies are not having any water to drink. They are having, say, the cool drinks to drink, but no water to drink. And because of all this agitation on change.org and other, so then they started to also plant trees and try to do rain harvesting so that the water that they are taking, they are giving back. And in fact, at one point on each of these companies' soft drink bottles, they had written that how much water they are taking from the society and how much water, which is more than what they have taken, they are returning back. We don't know whether it is a fact or not, but they said that, okay, if you are taking 10 liters from the ground, we are actually providing back 15 liters. But that's how it's supposed to be, that whatever you have taken from the society, you are supposed to give back multifold than that. And if we don't pay back our debts, whatever we owe to each of these personalities, then we are like Prabhupada often said, we are thief. And like Krishna also says, tena evasa, that we are considered to be a thief. And there is no special reward that is given for paying the debts, because you are expected to be paying your respects and debts to all these personalities. Just like the traffic rules. Now if you follow the traffic rules properly, it's not that the government of India is going to come and give you an award, the best traffic follower. They are not going to give you any award. But say if you break the traffic rule, then immediately you will be punished. You will be given a ticket. Nowadays there are all these CCTV cameras at the junctions. We may think I am scot-free. I escaped either a high speed or a signal. Nobody was watching. But there was a camera that was watching. And then your number plate is caught, and then you at your home or on your email, there is a fine that comes that you broke this traffic rule, therefore you have to pay. But if you followed a traffic rule, it's not that you'll get a gift at your house. No. Because traffic rules or the debts that we owe, we are supposed to be paying them. So therefore, following the traffic rules has no rewards, but not following the traffic rules has punishment and it may ultimately lead to a accident. And same way with all the debts that we have. Now, when it comes to bhakti, the process of bhakti, which is the second aspect of this verse, even one doesn't follow the path of bhakti, one will not be punished. In most scriptures, some religions, it is considered that if you don't obey God and if you don't follow, then you'll be sent to hell forever or you'll be punished. But according to the Vedic literatures, if one doesn't follow the path of bhakti, there is no punishment that is given because you didn't chant or you didn't worship Krishna. But if you follow the path of bhakti, you will be given great rewards. In fact, it is said, bhakti has returns that are out of this world because you are taken out of this world. So very contrasting, when we pay our rina, if you don't pay, then there is punishment. And with bhakti, when you don't follow, then you are naturally in the karma cycle. And according to the karma cycle, with whatever karma you do, accordingly you will get your results. But there is no special punishment that is given. But Lord Krishna, being so merciful, whoever practices the path of bhakti, in the Gita, he says that, Neha bikrama nashosti, pratyavayo na vidyate, svalpamapyasya dharmasya, trayate mahato bayat. Even a small endeavor to practice the path, I ensure that he will be protected, saved from the greatest of dangers one will face, especially at the time of death. And and in this verse, whenever this verse is quoted, many times it is quoted to escape our regular duties that we are supposed to be following. Say your duty as a student or your duty as a child or your duty to the different devatas. This verse is quoted that, Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. That because I have taken shelter of Lord Vishnu, therefore I don't have to do any of these normal duties. But the real question is supposed to be asked is that, have we actually taken shelter of Lord Vishnu? Because if you have taken shelter of Lord Vishnu, then all of them are included in the path of bhakti. But when you don't take shelter of Lord Krishna fully, then we may have to also pay the dues individually. And we'll just go through what are the different dues. And Chanakya Pandit also says that three things should never be neglected. Fire, disease and debt. Because fire, if it is neglected, it will create havoc. The whole building may get burnt. Therefore, even in our temple, our devotees have installed the smoke detectors. So that anywhere there is fire, immediately it can be put out. And disease, when neglected, it only increases. It's not that by neglecting a disease, the disease is going to come down. And Chanakya Pandit says, the third is debt. That when someone has a debt and he keeps neglecting it, the interest, the compound interest, it's only goes on increasing. One of our devotees in the West, she got a ticket, a traffic ticket, but in one state of US, and usually it is something like $30, $40, and but before the ticket arrived at her home, they shifted to another state, and she was not aware of the that she had got a ticket, she had to pay a fine. And after 3 years, when she again went back to the state was not giving her the license, saying that you have a huge debt to pay. And the debt was something like $4,000 to $5,000. And then she asked that, "Boy, I never got any notification that I have to pay this debt." Of course, because the address was something which she was not staying anymore. Then she had to fight in the courts, and then some amount was reduced. So debt, when it is neglected, it only keeps increasing. It only becomes compounding. And therefore, even Mahabharata, it says that one of the persons who can be materially happy is one who has no debt. The two other conditions are one who eats hot meals that are cooked in his home, and one whose workplace is in a walking distance from his home, which in Kali Yuga, all three are, especially in Bombay, somebody stays in Virar and he has to work in Nariman Point. So, not walking distance, not a walking distance, neither the food is hot meals, and the debt, because to stay in Kali Yuga in a house, especially owned house, then people take so many loans, and this loan is there on their head for the next 20 years, and there is no peace of mind, because whenever you want to do anything, the loan is a big load. And because of that, there is never any peace of mind. And these loans that we may be aware are visible. But when we are born in, when we come into the maternity ward from a mother's womb, it's not that there is any receipt of loan that is there. It seems to be that we are just born empty-handed with no account to begin with. But it is said everybody around their neck is having a heavy debt. And we may not be able to see that, but by referring to the scriptures, we know that we are all depending on that, on all these living entities. So the first is the devas. This is called as the Pancha Mahayagya. We are all indebted to the devatas, because they are the ones who are supplying all the physical necessities that we need. The light, the water, the food, everything is being supplied by them. In Mumbai we have BMC, the Bombay municipality. And the municipality is responsible for sending the water, for the electricity. And at the end of the month, we all get our bills. And if we don't pay our utility bills, then our utility is cut down, that they either cut off the water or the electricity. So same way, in the universal government, there is the universal municipality who is supplying everything. And just like you may not see the municipal commissioner coming to your house, same way we don't see the devatas, who are much more expert in managing the affairs of the universe. They don't have to personally intervene for things to happen, but they are administering them. So therefore, the devatas, they supply the physical needs for all of us to survive. And therefore we need to be indebted to them, we need to be grateful to them. And how does a person pay back his debt to the devatas? By offering yajnas. When he offers yajnas, and then he does tarpana, he does offering for each particular devata. And then there is also at the end to ultimately Lord Narayan, because once we give to Lord Narayan, then everybody else's supply is, the debt we have is supplied. But another way by which everybody pays the debt, especially the Brahminical class, is by doing Sandhya Vandan. The Sandhya Vandan, the chanting of Gayatri 3 times a day, is the acknowledgement of the presence of all the physical necessities, especially the sun, who is the cause of everything else that is happening. And by performing Gayatri, by doing Sandhya Vandan, one pays, and by doing the Yajna, one pays back his debt to the devatas. And then there is the rishis, the sages. And the rishis are responsible for supplying the ethical needs of human society. The saints, the devatas, they supply the physical needs, but the rishis, they are the ones who guide the human society in the proper direction. And especially in the Vedic culture, all the Vedas are given by Vedavyas and other rishis. And there are 14 divisions of Vedic knowledge. And all these are, some rishi or other has spoken it and has developed it. And therefore we are, ultimately everything is coming from Krishna. But they are the ones who were the cause to, for this knowledge to be propagated. So the Vedas are basically divided into 3 sections. The Shruti Prasthan, the Smriti Prasthan, and the Nyaya Prasthan. And the Shrutis have the 4 Vedas. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharva Veda. Each of these Vedas is further divided into 4 sections. The Samhitas, the Brahmanas, the Aranyakas, and the Upanishads. And each one, usually the Samhitas and Brahmanas are considered to be for the Grahasthas, and therefore it comes into the Karma Kanda section. The Upanishads come into the Jnana section. And the Aranyakas is way by which it is generally for the renunciants. It is considered to be in the part of Upasana Kanda. And apart from these Vedas, there are also Vedangas and Upavedas in the Shruti Prasthan. And the Vedangas are those by which you are able to actually study the Vedas. Because if you don't have this knowledge, you won't be able to study or understand the Vedas properly. The Vedangas are Shiksha, the language, phonetics, the alphabets, then the Chanda, the grammar, then the Nirukta is the meanings, the etymology, then there is Jyotish, the astrology, and then there is the Kalpa Sutras, how exactly the rituals have to be performed. And then there are also Upavedas. These are considered to be Vedangas. Then there is the Upavedas. The Upavedas are 7 in number. Of course many, but 7 prominent. The Arthaveda. Arthaveda is the science of governance, science of economics, how the prosperity can be brought out. Then there is the Dhanurveda. When somebody doesn't hear proper governance, then he has to be punished. So the art of war is discussed in the Dhanurveda. Then the Gandharva Veda. Gandharva Veda is also one of the Vedas, which is the musical sciences. Then there is the Ayurveda, the medical field, the biology. Then there is Vastu Shastra, how the buildings have to be made, what is the proper construction, what is the proper way to have the building so that auspiciousness is created. And then there is the Kama Sutra, which is how the progeny can be properly brought out. And then there is the Vimana Shastra, the science of transportation. So, all these are given by the rishis. They have written down, meditated for thousands of years and connected to the Supreme Lord and brought these Vedas, these sciences to the human society. And the humanity is supposed to be grateful to them. And of course the Smriti Shastras has the Puranas and the Darshan Shastras, different philosophies that are there. And a grihastha or a human being is supposed to pay back the debt by studying all these literatures and also by helping to establish these literatures to go ahead by providing the proper culture. And apart from this, which the Vedic rishis are there, we also have the modern science, the Western scientists. We are depending more on the Western technology more than the Eastern methods, at least in the current day and age. All this microphone and the books or the gadgets, they are all the product of the scientists that have again deliberated and thought, maybe for wrong reason, to exploit material nature or to provide something. But we are also grateful to them. And a devotee pays his due by utilizing all these things that has been given in the society, and also by reading the Vedic scriptures. And then the next comes is the bhutas, the living entities. We are unknowingly depending on so many to be able to survive. There is a whole theory that by Dr. E.O. Wilson, who says that every life form that is there is contributing to the whole ecological cycle. And we may think that mosquitoes don't have any role, or an earthworm may not have any role, but each one is playing its part, and therefore we are able to survive. And when they don't exist, then that effect is felt slowly. And therefore we are also dependent on all the other living entities. Therefore, any human being, as Prabhupada's disciples speak here, is a product of his society. We are all a product of his society. Therefore, Devanrid Maharaji was saying that sometimes it seemed that that people that are coming into the movement now, they are having so many emotional issues, health issues. And Maharaj said that it is not that there is something wrong with the ISKCON society as it, but the kind of society from which they are coming, the society where we are living, is already so broke, and the kind of lifestyles are so bad, that those who are coming are product of that society. Therefore, not just that, okay, whoever is coming here, we judge, okay, how can these kinds of people are there, but because the society is such. So we are all product of the society, and therefore it is the duty of every living entity to also help others to sustain and to live. And if he doesn't do that, then ultimately he will be affected. When the Nazis were attacking, when the Hitler was killing different groups of people, I had read long back in my childhood a poem. This poem is about how when the Hitler was attacking and killing different groups. Each other group thought that we don't have to fight for them because he is only killing the other groups. Say the trade communists were being killed, or the laborers were being killed, or the Jews were being killed, or the other country people were being killed. And then very nice poem, and at the end he says that ultimately when they came, when the Nazi forces came to kill me, I had no one to take support because all the while I was only selfish. I was only thinking that they are not affecting me. And when it ultimately came to me, then there was nobody else to help me. So in this way, we are all a dependent society, interdependent society. And we cannot neglect that dependence on whether it is evident or not. Each one is dependent. Some years back when there was a war, the Vietnam War or different wars, one particular paratrooper who jumps from the flight, when he jumped, and then they have to open their parachutes. And when he was trying to open that parachute, it was not opening. First of all, he doubted because he didn't check before jumping whether the parachute was packed in the bag or not. That's one of the regulations that you need to check. Because once you jump and then you wonder where is the parachute, you can't go back. So he didn't check and he just jumped. But when he tried to check in the midair, it was there, and then he could open after a while. And then the parachute opened and then he came back safely, and then he fought the war. And of course he won the award. And when he came back, he went and thanked that guy who packs everybody's bag. And if that guy was neglectful, then what would have happened? This frontline soldier who is fighting, he would have actually died, being dropped dead. Same way in the temple, somebody may be just doing aarti, but there is all devotees that are in the background, say the backup room, who make the aarti plate. And then there are others who are even in the background, those that actually bring the flowers, or those that actually make the wigs. And like that, if you go back, we see that each and everything is so interconnected that we cannot just neglect anything. And how do we pay the debt? In the Vedic times, it was said that whoever is the living entities, the humans or the animals, you are supposed to go and feed them. And that is considered as the Bali Bhoga or the Bali Yajna, that you go and feed all the living entities that are outside your house. And the Apta parents are the ones that raised. Once when I was coming, next to me there was a small kid with his mother, and this kid for the 2 hours that we were traveling, he was just crying and crying, creating whole kind of scene there. But the mother was so tolerant. She was just consoling him and trying to feed him milk or trying to calm him down. And then I was reflecting that each one that is here has been nurtured and tolerated so much by the parents. And one needs to be grateful to them. And unless that gratitude is there, that same gratitude won't reflect to Krishna. And therefore, a devotee that naturally is trying to be grateful to all these sources of our shelter, he, when he starts to understand that actually all of them are also being given their powers from Krishna, so therefore his gratitude doesn't shift, but it expands. And it expands to ultimately the Supreme Lord Krishna. And once he understands that the source, ultimate source, is the Supreme Lord for all of these living entities, then he also starts to pay the most respects to the Supreme Lord. And if there is any kind of dilemma where he has to decide, what should I do now? Then he always prefers to first pay his dues to the Supreme Lord. And the way material nature is created, that a devotee naturally becomes well-wisher for each of other life forms that are there. Therefore, devotee doesn't neglect, like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he was so grateful to his father for giving him the birth and for raising him. When Narsimhadev asked him, "Prahlad, what do you want?" He said that, "Please deliver my father," although he was evil-minded. "Please forgive him and deliver him." And Narsimhadev, he says that he is already delivered, not just him, but 10 generations before him and after him are delivered. Like that, 21 generations have been delivered. But one devotee was making the point that Prahlad is like 6th or 7th generation in the family. Prahlad is the son of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is the son of Kashyapa. And Kashyapa is the son of Brahma. So if you see Brahma, Kashyapa, Hiranyakashipu, only 3 generations. So where is the 7 other generations that are there? So this, that Lord Narasimhadev speaks, is not just the generation that is only connected to your current birth, but it is to all those generations that were there in your previous life. Say in your previous life you are in some other family. That family gets benefited. In that, back to that. So in that way, 10 generations before and also 10 generations ahead if you happen to again take birth. And of course, this whole family is also delivered. And Bhutarin, our indebtedness to all the Bhutas, all the living entities. When Haridas Thakur was chanting, he said that all the echo that comes back is actually all the trees and the life forms that they are chanting back, and they all get benefited by a devotee's chanting. And the process of deity worship is also a way by which all the Bhutas, they get benefited. The flowers that are offered, the foodstuffs that are offered, they get benefited by connection to Krishna, and each of those life forms gets either a human birth or gets a elevated form, because that flower, that fruit, instead of being eaten by someone else, is actually now offered at the feet of the Supreme Lord. The Rishirin, our obligation to all the Rishis, because all the Rishis, the third canto is explained, that they are all flying towards the nest of the Lord Krishna's lotus face. And all the Rishis naturally become grateful. We have the story in the Mahabharata where Durvasa Muni, he had come with 10,000 other Rishis, his disciples. And they all have to be fed. And unfortunately, the Akshay Patra's quota was over that day. And Krishna came and then he ate one morsel. And once Krishna was satisfied, all the Durvasa Muni and all the other sages, they all felt full. Their stomach was full. They felt bloated. So in this way, if a devotee tries to please Krishna and is submissive to the desires of Krishna, naturally all other living entities are covered in that. It's not that the Pandavas were feeling, we don't have to offer our homage or serve the sadhus, serve Durvasa Muni. They were equally anxious as any other grihastha can be. But it is Krishna that awards that benefit. It is not a devotee feels that I don't have to do anything. A devotee never considers himself a devotee, therefore is always careful to follow the normal rules and regulations. But it is Krishna who sees that how he is connecting everything to him actually becomes delivers the devotee from all kinds of obligations that can come to him. And therefore he doesn't focus, the devotee doesn't focus that because I am a devotee, I don't have to perform any of my responsibilities. He just focuses, let me perform my responsibilities in a Krishna conscious way, with keeping Krishna in also as the main pleasure object, and also pleasing the other, like many of the traditional temples, when the food is offered, the bhoga is offered to the devatas, there is a shaligram shila that is there, and first the bhoga is offered to the shaligram shila, and then it is offered to other devatas. So in this way, a devotee actually pleases and pays his dues more than what general person can do by his devotional service. A devotee is like that sandalwood tree. One sandalwood tree in a forest can make the whole forest fragrant. Same way, wherever a devotee carries his devotion, that devotion actually pleases any living entity that comes into contact to him. And this feeling of indebtedness always makes a living entity feel responsible. And also he doesn't expect any more rewards, because he's already paying a loan with parents or with devatas. He doesn't expect any more because he's already indebted. He's clearing the loan that he has. And we have the story of Balaji, who is also indebted. He is having a huge loan that was taken for his marriage, and he is still paying. I think there is a joke that says that every husband feels like that. I am still paying for my marriage. And Balaji especially is paying, and all his devotees, they by giving their dakshina, whatever they can, are helping the Lord in clearing the loan, the debt. And the biggest debt that a devotee is concerned about is his debt to his spiritual master. Because he is the one who has delivered us from the cycle of birth and death, has given us the path. Therefore, he may not be worried whether he is able to clear all the debts to other living entities, but he is most concerned that I have to repay my debt to my spiritual master. And the best way one clears his debt, that one can never clear, but by trying to live by what he has given, and also trying to share the wisdom and the kripa that he has been bestowed. So in this way, a devotee feels indebted to his spiritual master, and tries to repay by living a life of devotion. So we'll stop here, because this verse has a big purport, and I am only supposed to cover one third of it tomorrow and Tuesday. More Gauranga Priya Prabhu and Haridas Thakur Prabhu will be shedding much better light on this verse, one of the amazing verses of the Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.